This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about getting to sleep. So Arianna Huffington came out with a new book called The Sleep Revolution. It's a revolution, everybody. It's a revolution. We all got to sleep. Like Bernie Sanders says, we got to have a revolution. We got to bring people together. And so today we're going to talk about sleeping and some science-backed tips that she outlines in the book on actually getting to sleep and staying asleep. And they're really practical. They're really easy to implement. And I thought, you know what? Let me share them. Let me break them down in this episode. Of course, if you want the full summary, you can pick that up at getflashnotes.com. In this episode, we are going to be sharing 17 of the tips that she outlines in the book. Really great ideas, very practical. You can start using them ASAP to get yourself to sleep and to stay asleep. Be fully rested, fully charged the next day. So let's dive in. So the first step to getting better sleep is to turn out the lights completely, black it out in your room. So for instance, like we have in our room, there's a little thing that we have on the crib for our daughter, and it's got like this little blue light that emits upwards. So what I do is I cover that up. I cover up everything totally black. I black it out inside the bedroom so that there's nothing that distracts me at all. And the reason for this is because light is actually a trigger in our sleep-wake homeostasis. And when the lights are off, the body secretes melatonin. And that aids us in actually falling asleep. Even the light that you turn on when you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, that can totally screw up the process of melatonin actually being secreted by your body. So dudes, fellas, this is where target practice comes in handy. You know, I'm at the point now where I can just, you know, I don't need to turn on any lights whatsoever. If I'm getting up in the middle of the night to go take a leak, I'm just going to get up. I've got my aim down. I'm ready to rock and roll and then just head right back to bed, roll back in and go to sleep. So, you know, might take a little practice, but, you know, make it happen. Try to close all the lights. And if you have to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, try to either cover your eyes if you've got the bathroom light up, because even the slightest light, even dim light, can mess up that pattern of melatonin and getting yourself to fall asleep and stay asleep. So that's really, really important. Even a light from a TV, that's going to have the same effect. The blue light from your iPhone or from a smartphone, that's actually going to also have the same issue, the same effect. And those are actually especially good, even more so than regular light, yellow light, at suppressing melatonin. Again, the hormone that gets you to fall asleep, stay asleep. So that's going to really mess up your sleeping pattern. So what Huffington suggests is basically removing smartphones totally from your bedroom 30 minutes before you go to sleep. So what I do is Apple recently came out with this new thing, this night function, where you can actually shut off all of the blue light from the phone. And so it kind of dims the screen a little bit and it makes it yellow. Although I still don't really use my phone before bed, I turn that on a couple hours before bed just to be extra careful, make sure I don't mess around with my sleeping patterns and getting my body to, you know, prepare itself to actually go to bed. Number two is temperature. So I didn't know this, but apparently the ideal temperature for sleep is 65 degrees. 65 degrees. So when it's too hot, if it's too cold, which 65 degrees is actually pretty cold, but either if you go lower than that or too high, right, like probably above 60, 75 degrees or so, then you're actually going to be disrupting your sleep. So temperature is crucial. I usually like to keep it at 70 degrees in the book. Arianna Huffington suggests that you do 65 degrees. That to me is a little bit too cold, but you know, do your thing. That's what the research suggests. I like to keep it at 70. That's my, you know, sweet spot. So number three, exercise. So exercise is important. Everybody knows exercise is important. Ideally, you want to do it actually in the morning. In the book, she kind of says that anytime you do it is okay as long as you do it. And that's where I kind of disagree, because there's plenty of studies out there that show that it's better to work out in the AM. Why? Because your body releases cortisol in the morning time. And, you know, when you're exercising, it stimulates cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And that's going to keep you up, right? It's going to keep you energized. It's going to keep your body alert. And if you do that before bed, you know, a couple hours before bed, then it's going to disrupt your sleeping, right? It's going to prevent you from falling asleep. So ideally, you want to work out in the morning so that you get the cortisol release and, you know, it leaves your body throughout the day. So you can actually use it, right? You can use that extra energy that you get from working out in the morning throughout the day while you're working or whatever. And, you know, you won't allow it to prevent you from actually falling asleep and staying asleep. And, you know, I've tried working out in the PM and it's just didn't work for me. You know, so for years now, I've been getting up 5 a.m., working out that way. And if you want some more details on this, on how to work it out, even if you're not a morning person, you should listen to the episode that I did with Sean Stevenson, who's the author of Sleep Smarter. We did an interview recently, and we talk about, you know, how to approach this. If you're not a morning person, what should you do to still take advantage of, you know, exercise and prevent it from disrupting your sleeping cycle? So listen to that episode for some more details on how to develop a good system for yourself, on how to approach exercise and not allow it to mess with your sleeping. Number four, so there's a clear connection between increased caffeine and sugar intake and decreased sleep. Even 6 hours before trying to go to sleep, caffeine can mess up your whole entire sleeping cycle. So it might be a good idea to just stop drinking any caffeine whatsoever at, you know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I usually try to, you know, have my last cup of coffee, if I have one, at 1 p.m., no later than that, but ideally around noon if I feel like having coffee. So that's that with caffeine and sugar. Number five, incorporate relaxing rituals before bedtime. This is huge, huge. You know, if something helps you feel peaceful and calm and it doesn't contain caffeine and sugar, it can really contribute to better sleep. So that's really big. Like something like, what's that stuff called? Chamomile tea. That's huge. That's helpful. If you want to relax yourself and you want it to be natural and something that's, you know, that's soothing and relaxing and kind of reduces your stress and kind of gets your mind to just ease itself, chamomile is actually really good for that. Totally natural, been used forever, God knows how long. And another one is valerian root. So those are two great ways to incorporate relaxing rituals. You might have some tea before bedtime. You might listen to some, you know, waterfalls flowing in from your phone via a rain app or the Calm app, which is a great app for natural sounds and stuff like that. So that's that. Incorporate relaxing rituals before bedtime. Number six, when it comes to supplementation, calcium, magnesium, B vitamins, tryptophan, and melatonin all help with sleep. Again, that's calcium, magnesium, B vitamins, tryptophan, and melatonin. They all help with sleep. You can find melatonin naturally, by the way, in cherries and in cherry juice, which is interesting. I didn't know that until I read this book. But one thing that I've been doing forever is I take a combination of magnesium and vitamin B6 and zinc before bed. And I've been doing that for years. I find that it actually, I initially started taking it because it supposedly, I thought it boosted testosterone, and it does, but it also helps you with your sleep and it helps you get into a deeper quality of sleep. So that's that when it comes to supplementation. Number seven, large meals before bed, bad idea. Avoid it. Especially if you have like acid reflux, having irregular meal times, that stuff can really interrupt your circadian rhythms and your sleep-wake cycle. So in the book, she suggests that fatty foods and high fat diets are no good for those who want to sleep better at night. I think personally that depends, because every body is literally different. Separate that word, every human body, every body is different. You know, your body might respond well to fatty foods and high fat diets, whereas somebody else's might not. So you might want to experiment with that. But her advice is, you know, fatty foods, high fat diets are no good for those who want to sleep better at night. I haven't had it, haven't seen any impact on my body in that regard. And I eat lots of good fats. And, you know, I haven't had it negatively impact my sleep. So, but, you know, just a word of advice. You might want to try it out for yourself. See if it works. If it does, wonderful. If it doesn't, then don't worry about it. Number eight, booze. You booze, you lose. Alcohol. So alcohol might seem like a good idea for falling asleep, but it's actually not. It's actually not. Not when it comes to staying asleep. So the problem is that while alcohol might help in the first half of sleep, it can actually disrupt your body from transitioning into the second half of your sleep cycle, which is crucial, critical to muscle building, because that's when your body secretes hormones that actually help your body do things like repair muscle tissue and repair your body, recover from basic day-to-day stressors that all of us naturally put ourselves through, right, while we're awake and going about our days. So, you know, that's really, really important. And, you know, that doesn't mean that you should do away with alcohol totally, but, you know, again, something that you want to just be mindful of when you're thinking about whether you should, you know, slam that extra drink or not. And, you know, with everything, small doses every now and then should be okay, but, you know, making a regular habit out of it, bad idea, especially when it comes to booze. Number nine, acupuncture. Acupuncture apparently has been very helpful in the treatment of insomnia. So, you know, haven't tried it myself, but Huffington points to evidence that it actually really works to go through an acupuncture protocol and, you know, actually decrease your, you know, the problems that are associated with insomnia, you know, not being able to fall asleep. So apparently it can really help with that. Acupuncture's, I've never tried it. I want to. It's really interesting. Like, apparently it can help with a whole wide array of different issues, from arthritis to, you know, various sorts of inflammation in the body. So I wouldn't be surprised if it really worked. If you do try it, let me know how it goes, because I'd love to know. Now, number 10, smelling lavender, drinking lavender tea, and taking valerian root. Again, I mentioned valerian root a moment ago, but this one is specifically on lavender, drinking lavender tea. So also increasing your GABA intake, which is another supplement that you can buy that she suggests, and add that to your diet. So basically what GABA is, and lavender and drinking lavender tea, all of those calm your senses, they calm your system, right? And of course, that helps you fall asleep. It reduces anxiety, it reduces stress, and there are natural options for doing that. GABA specifically, what that does is it actually calms your mind from thinking about all the things that you're naturally going to be thinking about, right? If you've got problems, then it really takes a trained mind to not think about those problems before you go to bed at night. And GABA, apparently that supplement, it can help you with, you know, removing those issues and those problems from, you know, constantly coming about in your mind when you're trying to get yourself to fall asleep. I actually have it, but I've never taken it. I've got a closed bottle actually in my kitchen right now. And I bought it a while ago, but I haven't used it, haven't cracked it open. If you try that, let me know how it goes, because I'd love to know. I'm just interested in it. But in any case, those are the, you know, big things for reducing stress-related thoughts and issues that arise in your mind when you're trying to calm down and go to sleep. They help you calm down. Number 11, the most common non-medical causes of insomnia are stress and anxiety. Kind of going off that same strain that we were just talking about in the last tip on reducing stress and taking lavender and all that stuff. So the most common non-medical causes of insomnia are going to be stress and anxiety. So if you're suffering from that, you know, or also known as a state of hyper arousal, it actually becomes a self-perpetuating cycle. You know, as lack of sleep increases stress and stress decreases sleep, right? Anything that decreases stress can help with this cycle. Again, some of the things we've already mentioned, and it might also be worth looking into what your body might be telling you when you struggle to fall asleep, right? Maybe there are things in your life that need intervention. Maybe you need to see a therapist. Maybe you need to work out some stuff with yourself. Maybe you need to figure out some of your issues and talk it out with somebody. You know, nothing's off limits when it comes to, you know, exploring the causes, the root causes, and potential solutions to getting yourself to regularly develop a routine out of getting a good night's sleep, right? So if you're stressed out, if you're anxious about stuff, it might be a good idea to start exploring some of those things and figuring out what might work as far as, you know, figuring out solutions for them, right? Whether that means seeing a therapist, whether that means reading a good book on cognitive behavioral therapy and trying that out on yourself and, you know, dealing with those issues that all of us have to deal with from time to time, right? Stuff happens. You know, you get a divorce, you're going to think about that stuff. Somebody dies, you're going to think about that. And there's nothing you can do about those situations sometimes. But when it comes to dealing with them yourself, right, there's tons of different ways in which to do that. Number 12, coming into your bedroom at night should begin the process of leaving the day behind. Leave the day at the door, right? Prepare for a restful night's sleep. Create a routine for yourself that relaxes you and prepares you and your body for sleep. So some of that we're going to discuss in the next piece here, number 13, which is to keep a calm environment, right? If you wear clothes to bed, be sure that, you know, for mainly, I think this one applies to the ladies. If you wear clothes to bed, make sure that they're exclusively for sleeping in, nice pajamas or whatever. You know, like my wife likes to have nice pajamas now for falling asleep, and she wears them specifically for sleeping in, right? Me personally, that doesn't really matter to me. I wear the same clothes to bed that I'm about to wear the next morning to get up and go to the gym, so it's as easy as possible for me. But, you know, that's just me. But, you know, keep a calm environment. You might want to have one of those little things next to your bedside table that makes that, you know, the natural water coming, the little rock things that you kind of plug in and natural like water flows from it and you hear the nice water just kind of trickling down in the background, or you use an app playing in the background that's set for like a timer for 30 minutes or whatever that kind of goes on and you hear water or you hear the ocean or you hear some rain, some kind of soothing, calming sound that gets you to just kind of relax and not think about anything. And you just play that, put it on the sleep timer for 30 minutes. There's a really great app that I like to use called Calm App. It's called the Calm App. And you can look that up. Great little app. And it's got lots of nice natural sounds that you can play and you can have it to automatically shut off, right, at a specific time. So that's really cool. And number 14, meditation. So meditation can be a great way to wind down from your day. Great way to start the day, by the way, as well as a great way to end the day. And it's an excellent strategy to use if you wake up in the middle of the night, for instance, right? Instead of becoming all stressed out about being awake, looking at what time it is, just take some time to be grateful. Inhale, breathe out, meditate a little bit, right? Practice falling asleep with gratitude on your mind. You know, remember, sleep is going to be the only way for your body to actually escape from the problems and perils of everyday life, right? So what you want to do is try and find peace and try to purify your brain of any issues that might be arising in your head, thoughts, problems, whatever. Just be still, breathe, accept the stillness, accept the quiet, accept the blackness in the room, and just think about your breath and just breathe in, breathe out, and just meditate. Meditate yourself back to bed. It's really effective. I've tried that many times. Number 15, if you can't fall asleep, do not flick on the lights and do not reach for your smartphone. I've been there, right? Maybe you have too. Instead, again, try to meditate or try reading something that's relaxing. Right, ideally from a real physical book, but if you've got like an iPad with a Kindle app on it or a Kindle, you know, an e-reader of some kind, ideally if it's capable of turning off the blue light that emits from it that keeps you awake more than any other type of light, then that should be an acceptable alternative. But ideally, you know, having a real physical book with one of those tiny little super, super, super dim night lights on it. You can kind of clip onto the back of the book, right? So that it just illuminates just enough light so that you can actually see the pages. And, you know, if you leave it on, you just, the book falls right on your chest and you fall right asleep, no problem, right? They take a little tiny little watch battery. Cost 50 cents to replace if the battery goes out. But those are really cool. I've got one of those and I use that from time to time also. But again, meditating is good. Reading something relaxing is good. Now, of course, you know, for me, like, I'm the kind of guy that if I read something, I'm going to be wanting to highlight everything, highlight all the pages, dog ear them, take notes on the sides, all that stuff. So ideally, you don't want to read anything that's heavy, right? That gets you pumped up and gets you excited. So ideally, you want to read something that maybe you don't really care that much about, or maybe you're just kind of interested in, but isn't really going to get your heart pumping, or isn't a problem-related issue that you're trying to solve, or anything like that. Just something light, maybe fiction. I don't know. So that's one thing, but do not flick on the lights and don't reach for your smartphone, because then you're just going to be going into this whole, this just dark hole of just staying awake, right? You're going to be awake in bed with this light dimming onto your face, this glowing on your face, and you're just going to be looking at stuff. You're going to be checking Facebook. You're going to be thinking about things. You might be checking email, replying to email, you know, all that stuff that doesn't help you with sleep, right? And it actually keeps you awake, continues to keep you awake. So just ideally, lay there. If you wake up in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you get up, your eyes wake you up, some noises wake you up, whatever, just stay up. If you get up, right, and just breathe. Instead of grabbing something, instead of turning on the light, instead of doing whatever, just breathe. Just meditate, and then see if you can let that kind of lull yourself back to sleep. Or maybe pick up a physical book, right? Read for a little bit until you get tired again, fall back asleep naturally. Number 16, naps are actually great ways to actually incorporate into your daily routine if you want to be able to fall asleep well at night. So I don't nap at all. I've tried, just not my thing, but I do know how good it is for you. It helps your brain actually function at a higher level. For many people, it enhances creativity, enforces learning, lowers stress, strengthens the immune system. It can even help to reverse the hormonal impact of a night of poor sleep. Right, so if you've got a crappy night's sleep the night before, then might be a good idea to actually take a nice little nap the next day to kind of get your body back up to where it needs to be. So as soon as you start to feel tired, Huffington suggests in the book you should take a short nap, right? 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, something short, not too long, ideally 20 minutes. And this not only will help you through your day, it can actually improve your nighttime sleep, which is really interesting. Didn't know that. Napping during the day helps you fall asleep better during the night. That's pretty cool. So, you know, there are even some corporations apparently that are beginning to understand the benefits of napping, and nap rooms and offices are starting to become more common, you know. And she also mentioned some famous folks and historical figures who commonly use napping, have been noted for using napping. Margaret Thatcher, she mentions, Charlie Rose, Winston Churchill, Pope Francis, Dalai Lama, all of them napped or are currently napping if they're still alive. And finally, number 17, the final tip to getting better sleep is traveling. When you're traveling and you get jet lag, that can put a huge kink in your sleeping habits. You know what to do? If you're traveling and you get jet lag and you have a tough time sleeping, the final tip, number 17, is to fast. Fasting. Going without food, right? So the best treatment apparently for jet lag, right, or when you're traveling long distances and you know you're going to have an issue with sleep, fasting is apparently the best way to counteract that, to go without food, and she says ideally for 16 hours. And this lack of food, what it does is it actually enables the body to set a new sleep cycle clock within itself. So if you do need to eat, for instance, right, you know, fasting is the best way to prevent your body from, you know, experiencing, you know, bad jet lag and stuff like that and messing up your sleep cycles, because the fasting process itself, going without food for an extended period of time, 16 hours, as she mentions in the book, that enables your body to set a new sleep cycle clock within itself. Again, but if you do need to eat, keep it to something healthy, something nutritious, something light, right? Drink lots of water and, you know, eat something that's really, really light. Celery, you know, maybe some nuts, handful of nuts, something, carrots maybe, you know, but nothing crazy. Don't eat a burger while you're traveling if you know you're going to have issues sleeping, because it's going to mess up your sleep cycle. So travel with all the things that you need in order to get, you know, a restful sleep while you're traveling, if on the airplane, if you can. And if you can, schedule an extra day into your trip to rest before beginning whatever activities you need to begin. One thing I like to do is when I know that I'm going to be doing something for a trip, right, whether it's work related or not, if I'm going to be traveling, I don't work at all the day before I travel and the day that I come back, right, the day after I take off. So I bookend that. The beginning, the day before, I set a little buffer to relax, and then the day after, right, when I come back, I give myself an opportunity to recharge my batteries. I found that to be helpful. Maybe you will too. So that's what we've got, 17 tips to getting better sleep. If you want the full book summary here that these tips were inspired by, it was Arianna Huffington's book, The Sleep Revolution, and you can get that over at getflashnotes.com. Until next time, get some sleep, baby, and live like you give a damn. Yo, it's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.